Hello, Ger. Today I'm going to talk about Trim Castle, probably the biggest and most impressive of the Anglo-Norman castles in Ireland. Trim Castle is situated on the banks of the River Boyne. The town of Trim in Irish is Baile Acha Trim, which means the town on the ford of the elder trees. In early times, having a fording point was very important for communication and trade. Even as far back as the 5th century, it meant it was an ideal place both for a monastic settlement and a chieftain's fort. The Anglo-Normans arrived in Ireland in 1169 with Richard de Clare, the Earl of Pembroke, also known as Strongbow, because of his great skill with the bow and arrow. They had come at the request of Diarmaid MacMurrough when Leinster had been attacked by Tiernan O'Rourke. MacMurrough went across the sea to Wales to ask Henry II of England for help. Henry agreed to send Strongbow to Ireland with an army of Anglo-Norman knights. As the Anglo-Normans were superior in their techniques of warfare, they soon managed to regain control again of Leinster for MacMurrough. But instead of returning to England, Strongbow and his knights decided to stay in Ireland. MacMurrough had promised him the hand of his beautiful daughter Aoife in marriage and had also declared that he, Strongbow, would be his successor as King of Leinster. MacMurrough died within a few years of the battle, and so Richard de Clare became King of Leinster. Henry II of England was dismayed when he saw how the Norman knights had decided not to return to England. Henry wanted to make it clear to Richard de Clare, that is Strongbow, that although he was now King of Leinster, he was still under Henry's command. As a means of levelling up, Henry gave Hugh de Lacy, another Norman knight, the Kingdom of Meath, along with the custody of Dublin. This was to make it clear to Strongbow that he was King of England, and Strongbow and the knights who came over with him were still his subjects and should not think that they were on a par with him. De Lacy decided to build his castle in Trim in 1172, and Trim became an administrative, judicial and commercial centre. He first made a wooden castle, but the Gaelic Irish saw it as a threat, and in 1174, Rory O'Connor, King of Connaught, attacked and destroyed De Lacy's fort. De Lacy realised he would have to make a stronger castle, and so he decided to rebuild his castle, this time with stone. He and his son Walter worked for 30 years on the building, and they ended up with the largest Anglo-Norman castle in Ireland, complete with a moat. Its thick walls and defences made it an outstanding castle. Walter inherited the castle from his father, but he, Walter, actually outlived both his son and his grandson. So Trim Castle and the grounds passed from him to his granddaughter, Matilda de Lacy, whose second husband was Geoffrey de Genville. After Matilda's death, Geoffrey extended the castle by building the Great Hall beside the keep and also founded a Dominican friary called St. Mary of the Assumption on the northern side of the town in 1263. In 1308, Geoffrey de Genville himself entered the Black Friary, as it was usually referred to, and he became a monk. He lived there until he died in 1314, apparently leaving a large sum of money to the friary. The castle passed from the de Gene family to the Mortimer family and then to the Dunsany Plunkett family. By 1500, much of Ireland was back in the hands of the Gaelic chieftains, and the territory under English control had been reduced to an area around Dublin known as the Pale. Even though Trim Castle was in decline, it was still seen as important for protecting the northwestern border of the Pale. In 1542, Henry VIII suppressed the Dominican friary, and over the next couple of hundred years, it gradually declined as people began removing stones from the friary and using them for building purposes. Archaeologists today are delighted to see that the base outline of the monastery has not been built upon, and so they can learn a lot about the structure and the layout of the friary. Important remains survive, and thus dedicated archaeologists, under the guidance of Finola O'Carroll and Dr. Rachel Scott from the DePaul University, Chicago, enjoy the privilege of studying the full extent of this important site, which includes the monastic gardens and the seminary. Although Trim Castle fell into decline, it was refortified during the Irish Confederate Wars, which lasted 11 years from 1641 to 1652. Irish Catholics wanted self-governance, an end to anti-Catholic discrimination, and a reverse of the plantations. In May 1642, they formed the Irish Catholic Confederation, which was composed of both Gaelic Irish and Old English Catholics. Those Old English Catholics were the descendants of those Anglo-Norman knights who came over to Ireland in 1169. They tacitly supported Charles I in England. However, there were great divisions in England, which led to the beheading of Charles I and to Oliver Cromwell coming to power. Cromwell invaded Ireland with a large army. He waged a ruthless campaign, massacring many men, women and children. The towns of Drogheda and Wexford particularly suffered. The Dunsany Plunketts were forced out of Trim Castle and it was occupied by Cromwell. The English army also brought the bubonic plague with them, and thus many Irish people died as a result. Within 3 years, Cromwell had largely managed to defeat the Irish Catholic Confederation. Catholicism was repressed and Catholic-owned land was confiscated. Tens of thousands of Irish rebels were sent to the Caribbean or to Virginia as indentured servants. Those that were able to leave Ireland went to join armies in Europe. Trim Castle was granted to the Wellesley family. Arthur Wellesley, the Duke of Wellington, later sold it to the Leslie family. However, it was eventually passed back to the Dunsany Plunkett family via the encumbered estates court, which returned lands and properties to their former owners. Trim Castle was strategically placed, and it had been the centre of administration for Meath. The Irish Parliament had met there on 7 occasions. The Dunsany Plunkett family were cousins of one of Ireland's most prominent saints, Oliver Plunkett, who had been the Catholic Archbishop of Armagh and Primate of all Ireland from 1669 to 1681. In 1681, he was arrested and tried for treason and promoting the Catholic faith. He was sentenced to death and was hanged, drawn and quartered on the 1st of July 1681. He was the last of the Tyburn martyrs. In 1975, he was canonised a saint by Pope Paul VI in Rome. The Dunsany Plunkett family owned the castle and the surrounding area until 1993, when it was sold to the Irish state. Lord Dunsany retained the fishing rights and river access. Trim Castle has undergone significant restoration work by the Office for Public Works, and in 2000 it was opened to the public. It had been built to be almost impenetrable, and it has certainly survived over the centuries. However, a certain amount of restoration work was necessary. Over the centuries, Trim Castle had been reformed and adapted to suit its owners and changing political climate. However, luckily, most of the original building has remained unchanged since the times of Anglo-Norman power in Ireland. The de Lacy family must have felt protected and secure within those massively thick stone walls when they had completed the castle. Just looking at the castle from outside, you can imagine just how formidable it would appear. It would certainly discourage anyone intending to attack. In 1980, part of the film, The Big Red One, starring Lee Mervyn and Mark Hamill, was shot in Trim Castle. And the castle also appeared as the walled city of York in Mel Gibson's film Braveheart in 1995. One wonders, what would filmmakers do without these majestic castles in Ireland? Well, Trim Castle is the biggest castle in Ireland and is a castle that you certainly will enjoy visiting.